Welcome to On the House, a podcast focusing on home ownership and the home buying process.
On the House is brought to you by the Texas State Affordable Housing Corporation, otherwise known as TSHAC, a nonprofit that provides down payment assistance to help make home buying easier and more affordable. I'm Janelle Levesque.
And I'm Sarah Eleanor.
And I'm Frank Duplessis.
And together,
we make up the home ownership team at TSHAC and your host for the On the House podcast. Hello, and welcome back to the On the House TSHAC podcast, focusing on home ownership and the home buying process. I'm Frank Duplessis, TSHAC's home ownership program specialist and your host for today's segment. Today, we're going to be discussing student loans and their impact on your ability to buy a home. So many people think that just having student loan debt means that they will not be able to afford a home. In my previous experience in mortgage lending, I helped people get into a home that never thought it was possible without paying off their student loan debt first. However, it is true that student loans may complicate the home buying process a bit, so it's very important to know how student loans can affect both your ability to qualify for a home and your ability to pay for the ongoing expenses of home ownership. So we're very fortunate today to have Aubrey Miller from the Q&A Mortgage Team at Cardinal Finance here to speak with us. Aubrey has been a mortgage loan officer for almost 10 years and started Q&A Mortgage through Cardinal Financial about 3 years ago. She is one of TSHAC's top lenders and currently serves on our Lender Advisory Council. She has helped countless home buyers with student loans buy a home, and we're super excited that she's able to join us today. But before we dive into the student loan topic, I really want to share some interesting details about Aubrey. She is a born and raised Texan who lives with her husband and their nine-month-old baby girl on 6 acres in North Texas, where they have 3 horses, 4 alpaca, which are not llamas, 4 dogs, and 2 cats. The alpacas and horses definitely make more sense once you also learn she has a degree in wildlife biology and worked with all types of animals at zoos before becoming a loan officer. As a city boy myself, I think that is super interesting, so I just had to share that with you guys. So with all that being said, I have a feeling you really want to hear from her as much as I do. So let's welcome Aubrey, and thank you again for being here.
Thanks, Frank. I really appreciate the opportunity to get to help educate everyone on student loans and how they can affect the home buying process. You're absolutely right. For many people, it is absolutely possible to buy a home with student loans, but it's really important that they understand how their student loans can affect how much they qualify for.
Thank you again, Aubrey. And you're right. It is possible. So that's why we're here today. So let's dive in. So for someone who's interested in buying a home, but they do have student loan debt, where would you recommend they start?
So I think first off, it's important to know what kind of student loans you have. There's 2 different kinds of student loans out there. There's government loans, which are insured by the U.S. government, and then you have your private student loans, which are not. Government loans include direct subsidized loans and direct unsubsidized loans, which are also known as Stafford loans, as well as direct plus loans. You may have heard of Perkins loans or family federal education loans, but those are no longer around. They've been discontinued. If you aren't sure about what type of loans you have, a little bit confused when you look at everything, you can always call the servicer that's listed on your student loan, and they can give you a little bit more insight and information on that.
And I love to break down some of the terminology we use. I don't want to go over anyone's head. So just to reiterate, your servicer is the person that you're paying your student loans to. And if you're like some people I know, including me, you may have more than one servicer.
Correct.
So it's possible for you to have private and government student loans. So you always want to check and see what type you have. So while we're on the subject, can you help explain why it's important to know what kind of student loans you have?
Yeah, the reason it's so important is because your loan types can dictate your repayment options and the assistance you might qualify for. So, for example, if you have a government loan, you might qualify for an income-based repayment plan. This can be good option if your income is low, is too low to afford the standard repayment. In an income-based repayment plan, your payment is set as a percentage, usually 10 to 20% of your discretionary income. So if you have a larger student loan, sometimes you can really keep your payment down using that income-based repayment plan. An income-based repayment plan also can extend your loan term 20 to 25 years, but it's important to note that interest continues to accrue on the unpaid balance. So anything you're not paying on, that's going to keep getting interest on it. You're probably going to end up paying more interest for the life of the loan on that one. But the balance of the loan could be forgiven after your 20 to 25 loan term ends. So that could be a huge benefit with student loans that have those larger balances on them. People with federal loans can also qualify for forgiveness of their student loans under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program if they work for the government or an eligible nonprofit organization. To qualify, you have to be on an income-based repayment plan, and you have to make 10 years worth of payments on that while you're working for the government or the nonprofit organization. So it's not immediate, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel on that one. There's also some professions that are specific forgiveness programs, including programs specifically for teachers, nurses, doctors, and lawyers, as well as those that are in the military. For example, if a teacher is working in a certain low-income community, they may be able to qualify for up to $17,500 in loan forgiveness. Again, just depending on where you're teaching at and the subject that they teach. People with permanent disabilities can also qualify for loan forgiveness. So if you have anyone that has a permanent disability, that might be a way to get your student loan forgiven. And then finally, in March of 2020, the CARES Act automatically suspended payments on federal student loans, which is known as forbearance. Forbearance is basically you're not making a payment on that loan, and it's not getting any interest on that as well. But that is going to end in September 30th of 2021. So it's not a permanent stoppage of payment that is going to start again. So that's something that you want to be aware of. So if you're not currently on an income-based repayment plan and your loan is in forbearance, it is something you may want to call your student loan on and see if you can get into an income-based repayment plan before that comes out of forbearance.
And you know, it's interesting that you mentioned September 30th, because that's definitely a date I have on my calendar because of someone with student loans. I personally went through all of this. And this is true, what we've all just mentioned, for federal student loans. So these all those options, whether you're a teacher, teaching in a low-income community, someone who's permanently disabled, maybe you're in the military, if you're on one of those repayment plans because you're a nurse or a doctor, that does affect your federal student loans. So let's talk about some assistance options for people who have a private student loan.
So there's not going to be as much assistance for those private student loans. If you're struggling with the payment or you want to get it modified, the best thing to do is call the lender who has the student loan, who you're making your payment to, and see if there's any loan modifications or anything that they can do to help.
Yes, thank you for that, Aubrey. I do recall in my own search for things that I could do about my small amount of private student loans, the option that I found was to directly call them and see if we could work out some type of modification. And they were actually nice enough to refinance it and give me a lower interest rate and also work with me on the payment. So it is company by company when you're working with the private loans. But thank you very much for getting into what can be done, whether you have a federal or private student loan, to make sure you're making your payments. So let's shift gears a bit and let's talk about how your student loan might relate to you getting a mortgage. So now that we've touched on kind of the general overview of the types of student loans and the types of payments you can have, can you talk to us a little bit about what lenders look for when they're qualifying someone who has student loans and they're trying to get a mortgage?
So there's two main things that we're looking at when we're determining whether you're eligible for a mortgage, especially when it comes to the student loans. One is the payment history. are you making payments on the student loan? Have they been on time? If they're not, you know, that is something that affects your credit and can affect your eligibility. If they're in forbearance, that's okay. Or you're not making payments on them. They're not late. And we understand that. But what we are looking at is what is an estimated payment for that. So if they're in forbearance, we still have to figure out a way to estimate your payment on it. And that's going to be a little different loan type to loan type. But the worst thing that you can do with your student loans, if you are trying to get a loan, a home loan, is to let them go into default and let them go into collections, especially if it's a government loan. And the reason that is it can affect your ability to qualify for a government type mortgage like FHA when it comes time. You don't want to let those go into default. It can cause problems for you.
Right. And that's an important point to mention. And going back to going into default and being late on your payments, we've mentioned this in our podcast about credit, but your payment history and your ability to make an on-time payment is a little over a third of your total credit score. So that ability to keep things current and active is really what matters. So as long as you can call your lender before you're missing payments and before you're 30 days late and strike some kind of deal to adjust your payments, that's the best thing you could always do.
And Frank, like you mentioned, you've set that September 30th on your calendar. Know when your loans are coming out of forbearance, because what we hear a lot is people just did not realize they were coming out of forbearance. And then they didn't have their payment set up, things like that. So you do want to just make sure you know dates that those are coming out. And then the other way that it can affect your ability to get a loan, or the other thing that we're kind of looking at, is we're looking at your monthly payment and how that affects your debt to income in the loan scenario.
Okay. And I mean, this is a question I get a lot. So let's pause a little bit, because we don't want to go over everyone's head. DTI, or debt to income, is a very important acronym. And it's mentioned a lot when we're talking about applying for a mortgage. So can we provide a quick overview for everyone about DTI and what debt to income is and what it means?
Yes. So your DTI, or as you said, your debt to income, if you're talking to a loan lender, will be thrown around a lot. And what that refers to is the back end ratio. It's looking at how much of your gross monthly income is needed to cover all of your monthly debts. So your monthly minimum payments, it could be a credit card with $25, a car with $500, and then we're adding in your monthly mortgage payment, and we're dividing that by your gross monthly income. And that's how we're going to calculate your debt to income. Again, depending on loan type, depends what you can go up to percentage-wise. But again, I just want to reiterate, because I get this so many times, we're looking at the minimum monthly payment. We're not looking at the whole amount. So we are looking at the minimum monthly payment on that when we're getting your, when we're calculating your debt to income. FHA technically says a deep debt to income of less than 43%, but in reality, we can go up to 56% as long as it runs through. We have something called our desktop underwriter, and it's basically a computer program that's approving your loan before an underwriter ever looks at it. So that's one of the things that we're looking at when we're getting you approved, is that debt to income. Your student loan, we can get into that a little bit more and how it affects your debt to income in a little bit, but we're looking at that. We are adding, depending on how you're set up and the loan type, we are adding that in your debt to income as well.
Right. So just to go over that again, whatever your monthly payment is that you have set up is what's added into your DTI. It's your monthly payment, whether you've agreed to, especially if you have your income based, and depending on your loan type, it would affect which one. Like you said, we'll get into that. But it's always your monthly payment for all of your debts. Not with them, because you may pay twice what your monthly payment is. They go off of your minimum monthly payment on whatever.
Correct. So if that credit card's a $25 payment, that's what we're using, that $25.
Correct. I'd like to blow an air horn if I had one, but FHA released some amazing new updates for how FHA helps calculate your payment that drastically affects DTI. So let's talk about that a little bit, and let's talk about those changes and what FHA has done to update student loan payments when you're applying for an FHA loan.
Yes, and Frank, we were actually on the phone together talking about this podcast when this came out, which I just find amazing that that happened. We got an email on this, so just so crazy that we were talking about student loans and how they affect everything, and then lo and behold, here they come. So FHA used to require that we use 1% of the student loan outstanding balance to make the payment. It didn't matter if it was in an income-based or payment plan and forbearance, we had to use the 1%. So if your outstanding loan balance was $30,000, we would have to calculate the monthly student loan payment at $300 for debt to income or DTI purposes. FHA just came out and changed their guidelines. And so we're super excited about that. So what FHA has said is they will allow the income-based repayment plan as long as it's a dollar or higher. So if you have an income-based repayment plan of $1, we can use that in your debt to income. Other thing that they're allowing is if your loan is in forbearance, maybe you can't get it, don't want to get it out right now, is instead of using that 1%, we can use 0.5%, which makes a really big difference when it comes to payment. That's, you know, cutting it in half when you're trying to get approved for a home loan. And so that's a really big game changer for everyone is they're trying to get pre-approved. And maybe you tried last year and they said, hey, sorry, the student loans are too high. It's worth looking at again, because this is really a game changer for everyone and is making it much easier for our borrowers to get approved for an FHA loan with student loans. If you're not in an income-based repayment plan, but you want to get one to use that, you absolutely can. You can work with your student loans and you can work on getting them into that income-based repayment plan for those government student loans.
So thank you, Aubrey. This is certainly great news. So once again, for anyone interested in taking advantage of this and applying for an FHA loan or any home loan for that matter, what would you recommend to be their first step? Assuming, of course, that they know their student loan types and have already applied for either an income-based repayment plan, loan forgiveness, have called their private student loan provider and arranged payments, and they're eligible, what would you suggest to be the next step?
So once you've got your student loan payments handled, the next thing I would recommend is to look into a down payment assistance program. TSHAC will actually give you up to 5% of your loan amount to go towards your down payment and your closing costs. Your loans typically are going to require 3 to 3.5% for a down payment. So the 5% is not only going to cover your down payment, but also some of your closing costs. This isn't just for FHA loans. You can use it on conventional VA and USDA. We know VA and USDA, they're zero down, but they can help you cover those closing costs instead of maybe your down payment. It can help with that. When you're doing your home search, I would also recommend that you look for a motivated seller. Those sellers may be willing to help with the rest of the closing costs that are left as well. Look for homes that have been on the market a while or listings that indicate the seller is motivated. I know this is a tough market right now, but you can still find motivated sellers, particularly in the areas maybe a little bit farther out from the city center. I'm personally out a little bit farther with the horses and the alpacas. So if you get a little bit farther out, it's a little bit less competitive out that way. So you can find those motivated sellers. The other thing is maybe you have some funds saved up, but you just don't have enough for that down payment and for the closing costs. TSHAC can help you with that so that you do have those funds in order to be able to close on the house. They're going to help you with that down payment. They'll help you with some of those closing costs. And then you have some funds that you can maybe use for the rest of it. So they can help you with that so that you're not spending all of your money on the home if you do have some money saved up. So it's a really great program that you can utilize, help you get into a home now rather than waiting. Renting, you're not going towards any sort of, it's going straight into your landlord's pocket. It's not going into an investment. So getting into a home, you're investing in something, you have something to show for it. So utilizing TSHAC is wonderful.
I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about DTI. You mentioned that FHA loans generally require a DTI of 43%. And I heard you say technically, because that's one of those things when I speak to home buyers all the time, is explaining how gray things can be in the loan application process, where it's technically 43%. But I wanted to highlight that TSHAC actually doesn't have a DTI requirement to use our program. There's no max DTI for our program. Just like you mentioned that the FHA max really isn't 43%. You can definitely go up higher than that. But you still have to meet standard mortgage underwriting guidelines to participate in the TSHAC program and to get approved for a mortgage. So because our DTI requirements aren't set in stone at TSHAC, people with student loans have more flexibility if their DTI is a little higher. Not every assistance program is like that, which is why we like to point out the difference in TSHAC versus other assistance programs. So with all that being said, Aubrey, we're coming to the end of the segment, but I want to ask a final question besides the question I asked earlier about the difference between llamas and alpacas. People who have looked into student loan assistance options and either they don't qualify or their payments are still too high to qualify for a mortgage loan, even with the assistance options, do you have any advice on how they can get mortgage ready for the future?
Yeah, so there are things people can do to get ready. If you do have kind of a high student loan payment is hindering you from getting into a home. One of the things is pay off your smaller debt. If you've got credit cards that are a little bit smaller balances, pay those off because then we don't have to count those in. If you have a car loan and the payment's high on it, getting that paid off or refinancing it to get that payment down, that is really helpful. Or maybe trading it in if you can, and maybe getting something with a smaller payment. Those things are helpful in ways that you can get those that debt to income down some is by getting some of that debt paid off. So less debt is always going to be helpful. And then again, if you got told no because of your student loans, FHA's changed. So look into those income-based plans because those can be huge, especially if they keep those payments on those larger student loans lower. So definitely look at that. Another thing that I would recommend doing is talk to a housing counselor. They're really good at guiding you through the process and what to expect and things that you can do to get mortgage ready. TSHAC specifically operates a website called the Texas Financial Toolbox, and it can connect you with potential home buyers with nonprofits that provide home buyer and financial education as well as credit counseling. So knowing what you need to do to get into that home and getting that expert advice is huge. They can help get you mortgage ready. So those are some things that I would suggest. And finally, I would recommend that you contact a TSHAC approved lender and tell them you're interested in a mortgage credit certificate. An MCC is a federal income tax credit that first home buyers can utilize for the life of their mortgage. It's equal to 20% of the mortgage interest that you pay every year. So for example, if you pay $10,000 in mortgage interest in 1 year, you'll get a tax credit of $2,000. You can think of this as increasing your income by $2,000 because a lender can actually use the amount of the tax credit as income when they're qualifying you for a mortgage loan. So if you're really close to being able to qualify, but you're a little bit off, this MCC can help you get there. Also, you'll get the MCC tax credit every single year that you live in the home until you pay off your mortgage. You can use it with the TSHAC down payment assistance, or if you don't need the down payment assistance, you can apply for just an MCC.
And Aubrey, I'm so glad you brought up the MCC program because I always think of down payment assistance as like the cone, the ice cream cone, but the MCC is the ice cream, the sprinkles, the cherry on top. It's the entire point of getting assistance. It's that tax credit is so important. And it's absolutely my favorite program because, like you said, it's good for the life of the loan. So it can potentially save you $40,000, $50,000, depending on the interest charged and the price of your home. But that money adds up to way more than the money that you get in down payment assistance in that one time that you purchased a home. So if you're interested in learning more about the MCC or TSHAC's down payment assistance programs, you can always go to www.readytobuyatexashome.com. And there you'll find a description of our programs and some tools to help you calculate your MCC benefit, your down payment assistance benefit, and your monthly mortgage payment if you're using TSHAC's down payment assistance programs. You'll also find a list of all of TSHAC's approved lenders, or you can just contact Aubrey. She's one of our top lenders, very familiar with our programs, probably the only lender that works with us that owns alpacas and has ever worked at a zoo. So Aubrey, what is the best way for people to get a hold of you?
You can call or text me at 817-793-8288, or you can email me at aubrey.miller@cardinalfinancial.com, and that's cardinal like the bird.
So thank you for being here with us, Aubrey, and thank you so much for spending time to discuss student loans and their impact on mortgages. You've provided some really great information for people, and hopefully we've helped them realize it is possible to buy a home with student loan debt. There is also a lot of great resources out there to both help with student loans and to help with home buying costs.
My pleasure, Frank. Thanks for inviting me. And if there's anyone listening who wants to find out if they're eligible for TSHAC's programs or want to talk about their financial situation to see if they can buy a home, please feel free to give me a call. I am here to help and I'm here to answer questions.
I really hope that we kind of ease some of the tension regarding student loans and applying for a mortgage. Some people think it's impossible. It's not impossible, guys. You can do it. Thank you so much, Aubrey, for helping us talk to people about how they can. So that's all the time we have for today. Once again, thank you for tuning in to On the House, and we'll catch you next time.